We, a brother spoke to me Wednesday night after worship, and I thought it was a good idea. So tonight, we will spend the worship time, that is after communion and offering, we will spend the time just singing some great songs that express thanksgiving to God. The entire period after the communion, while I may have a few comments relating to some of what was said in last week's lesson, that we understand natural disaster in a better light, in a sense, God does not send hurricanes. You might be surprised to hear that. In a sense, God does not send earthquakes. Yet, in another sense, He does. But what we want to recognize is, as we continue, we said it Wednesday night, is that a hurricane which came so close to us, and as far as I know, so far, no lives were lost. And when you think of the lost in Haiti, I'm sure probably going to reach over 1,000. Why were we spared, and why they were affected so terribly? It's not because we are good or righteous more than they are. So don't ever permit your mind to go that side. We just want to say thanks to the Almighty God. And tonight we just want to select some songs that are expressive of thanksgiving, of God's greatness, of God's mercy and goodness. We want to, within our own selves, be thankful that at this time we were spared. The Prime Minister, I think, of Bahamas was reminding his countrymen that it seems the hurricane going to turn right back and come back on them again. So this time, we have at least much to be thankful for to God. So at tonight's service, the songs that are selected are expressive of God's kindness, mercy, goodness, greatness, etc. But today, we pick up on where we left off some 3 or 4 weeks ago. You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. We have looked on some of the strange things that we have heard over the years. We have had 2 lessons on some of these things. We pointed out in the first lesson that Jesus Christ was in fact a controversial person. Not by choice, but by what? The truth. Jesus Christ lived the truth. Jesus Christ taught the truth. Jesus Christ stood up for the truth. This made him controversial. The The church, which is the body of Christ, if in our effort to live the truth, teach the truth, stand up for the truth, we encounter some of what Jesus Christ encountered, that is expected. That's the nature of the truth. We pointed out that among the strange, you know, we looked at the fact that people say we do not believe the entire Bible, we accept only the Old Testament, we reject the New Testament, and we have dealt with that. When we left off, we were on the fact that people said that you criticize and you talk about other churches too much. We brought up as an illustration the Bureau of Standards. The Bureau of Standard is there to set standard that people who are doing business in Jamaica, and especially some business, manufacturing business, selling goods, that they maintain certain standard. You do not criticize the Bureau of Standard when they point out to you that particular restaurant is not serving food that is up to sanitary standard. You do not criticize them. In fact, you are glad to be informed. We pointed out that the same week that we were on this 3 weeks ago, that I had just listened to a few days before that, or the same morning, that they were threatening that they will be publishing in the news media block, that is concrete block manufacturer, that has not been making block up to the right building standard. You do not hear people saying the Bureau of Standards criticize too much. No, you hear people saying thank God. Huh? We pointed out that if there is a fruit inspector at the factory where you buy your fruit, your apple, your oranges, and whatever, and if the inspector pointed out that there is some box out there with fruit and those fruit are not good, do you start criticizing the fruit inspector? No, you'd say, thank you, sir, for pointing that out to me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ not only criticized false prophets, are we there? But Jesus Christ warned his followers to do the same. Are we there? Jesus Christ warned his followers against the dangers of false prophet. One, false worship. Two, false doctrine. Three, and false religious institution. Are we there? Jesus Christ, the Master, the Savior, the Son of God, he warned his followers to beware and watch out and the key to look out for those who claim to be prophet, but they are false. They do not come with the truth of Christ. Those who claim to be worshiping God, but those worship are either vain worship, ignorant, I-G-N-O-R-A-N-T, ignorant worship, or will worship. Now these are three different kinds of worship in which men and women are engaged but not acceptable to God. Vain worship, Matthew chapter 15. Ignorant worship, Acts of the Apostles 17. Will worship, Colossians chapter 2. These are all worship that religious men and women are engaging. But they are not accepted by God. It matters not how the worshiper is sincere. But the Bible also tells us of true worship. This is the only one of the four kinds of worship. This is the only one accepted by God. These others are warning. Now, when any of us come and preach about vain worship or ignorant worship, your response should be, thank God, I am warned. Instead of talking about you criticize too much. May I? So, let me just throw some passage here. We will not read them because I need. When Christ warned a false prophet in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. He warns a false worship in Matthew chapter 15 verse 9. He warns a false doctrine in Matthew chapter 16 verse 6 and verse 12. In fact, in this passage, Jesus Christ called false doctrine yeast, baking powder. That's what the word leaven is. And the whole point in the passage is that the same effect that a little speck of baking powder has on the whole dough. Are we there? This is the whole dough. Pounds of dough. You need only a little speck of baking powder. The Bible calls it leaven. And that little speck of baking powder affects all of the rest of the dough. Are we there? So Jesus Christ was saying, you do not need a lot of false doctrine to affect your soul. That's Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 12. He warned a false religious institution. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 following. That is Jesus Christ the Savior. Do we criticize other denomination too much? I don't think we do it as much as we ought to. That's right. The inspired apostles of Jesus Christ. May I, brothers and sisters? May I? A good doctor or health professional does not only... A good doctor will tell you this practice of yours is not good for your health. And they will tell you not only what is good for you to maintain a good health, but what is bad. And a health professional will tell you not only what you are to eat to have good health, they'll tell you what you are not to eat. And a lot of times we don't feel good when they cut us off from the things that we like. You don't hate them for that. Huh? Well, Jesus Christ, morally, spiritually, religiously, tell us not only what is good for us, but also what is bad. Are we there? The inspired apostle of Jesus Christ were critical. In fact, not only were they critical of false prophets. Are we there? But that was one of their priorities. We're going to look at a particular passage which so many of us know. But let me repeat what I've just said. The inspired apostles of Jesus Christ were not only critical of false doctrine and false prophets. That is, men who preach but did not stick to the naked truth. The apostles of Christ made that one of their priorities. In other words, it was not something they take for granted. Look with me at the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 28 through 31. Let us have it. Let us have it.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves.
And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost.
Wait, watch here now. Paul was traveling. He stopped here, if my memory serves me right, at Ephesus. He knew that he would be moving on. But not only that, he knew that he would be encountering some problem. In fact, that probably he would never see this church again. So he's giving them some warning. He's speaking to the church leaders. He said, take heed unto yourself.
And to all the flock.
And take heed to the flock. That is the church.
Over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer.
The Holy Ghost has made you overseer to teach the church.
To feed the church of God.
The word feed here means feed them with God's truth.
Which he hath purchased with his own blood.
He purchased the church with his own blood. Read.
For I know this.
I know this. Watch here. In the passage, there will be instruction and there will be warning. Very important that we notice something here. In the passage, there is instruction and there is warning. Let us hear.
For I know this. That after my departing.
After my departure.
Shall grievous wolves enter in among you.
Wait. Are we there? This is not talking about wild beasts out there. But the people he's talking about, they are likened to wild beasts. Because of the destructive effect that their teaching will have on the soul of men. Are we all there? I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves
enter in among you.
Brother Mitchell, what is grievous wolves? False teachers. Watch here. They shall enter among you. Watch here now. And?
Not sparing the flock.
They are not going to spare the flock. Read on. That's the church.
Also.
Uh-huh.
Of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things.
Are you listening? You talk about, you criticize that the church too much. Not true. From among your own selves, not only will outsiders come and identify themselves as a part of you and If you shut your eyes and give them the chance, before long, the things that they begin to teach. But Paul says, not only the outsider, those that are among you, men who have been a part of the church, they will also come up with falsehood. Watch here. Also from among your own selves shall men arise speaking twisted things. That's what the word perverse means. May I, anything that is not in keeping with the gospel of Jesus Christ is perverse.
Amen.
Twisted, bent. I'm going to lead you in the bent path. You still don't get to where I want you to get yet. Speaking perverse things. Read on.
To draw away disciples after them.
You see, ego. Ego is involved. They want their own church. That's why we have so many today. Draw away disciples unto them. Read on.
Therefore watch.
Watch.
And remember.
Wait, now this is where I want to read. And remember
that by the space of 3 years,
the 3 years that I have been among you,
I ceased not to warn.
I did not. Wait. The passage of instruction, and it has warning. The instruction is for them to feed the church. The warning is for them to always be on the lookout for false prophets. This is a priority. He said, for 3 years,
I ceased not to warn everyone.
I did not cease to warn everyone
night and day with tears.
Did you read that with what, brother?
I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Somebody didn't hear that.
Everyone, night and day, with tears.
Did you all hear that? Here is the greatest witness, as far as we know, Jesus Christ has ever had. Here is an inspired man. And he said, Paul spent about 3 or so years at Ephesus. And he said, night and day, this was one of our priorities. Always reminding you of false prophets, false teaching, and false religious practices. Night and day, we didn't stop. You talk about, we talk about other denomination, other church too much. You and I are reading a different Bible. Night and day. Are we there? You know why this warning? Falsehood, get this, represents question, or rather questioning, and it represents an encroachment on the divine sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. Religious falsehood question and represent a questioning of God's wisdom and God's knowledge, and it shows no respect for the will of God. That is, when you and I, are we all here? When the Almighty God teaching the scripture, teaches us in the scripture that baptism that God speaks about is a burial in water. Are we all there? And when I go there and be founder of a church and tell you, you can sprinkle, you can be confirmed, and it's still baptism, it simply means that I am encroaching on the divine prerogative of God. It simply means I'm questioning the wisdom and the knowledge of God. It simply means that the will of God that is represented in His command to me to be baptized, to be immersed, I have no respect for that. So when false doctrine is not just, well, what if what if I teach this? In a nice study I had with a young man on Friday, I pointed out that when God killed Nadab and Abihu for taking the fire from a wrong place, what you mean, Brother Mitchell? Fire, no fire? That's the way Nadab and Abihu fought. And probably, if I didn't have their example, I would have fought the same thing. There are two places from which the fire could have been taken. One was the brazen altar outside, right at the entrance of the tabernacle. The other places was from the seven sprung candlestick. The Almighty God had told them exactly where to light their instrument from. Simple detail like that, God should leave it up to them. I have some news for you. God does not leave any aspect of worshiping Him up to man. Worship is regulated. And they thought that all fires are the same fire. I might have thought the same thing, but thankful to God that God record what happened to Nadab and Abihu. God killed them. God is sending a message, I will be set apart in them that come near to me, and that is when you worship, you come near to God. But the message in that is that you cannot come near to Him any and any way. So false doctrine is an encroachment on the very divinity of the Almighty God. And this is why Titus chapter 1 verse 9 through 13. Let us hear it.
Holding fast the faithful word.
Wait. Everybody hear that? Holding the word fast means tight. Everybody got that? Holding tightly, not just any old word, the faithful word. That is talking about the teachings of Christ. Hold on to it tightly. Read on.
First, the faithful word as he had been taught.
Wait, you hear what word? The one that you have been taught. Hold tightly to it. Read.
That he may be able to by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
You all hear that? Somebody hasn't gotten that. That one of the purpose for which we study God's word is to be able to convince the gainsayers. That is men and women out there who do not know the truth, who stray from the truth. We must prepare ourselves to teach them, to correct them, to show them that they are wrong religiously. Read on.
But there are many unruly and vain talkers.
Wait, you talk about criticize? Paul called them unruly and he called them?
Vain talkers.
Vain talkers!
And deceivers.
Wait, who is that? Religious men and women. And?
And deceivers.
And deceivers. And deceivers! Why deceivers? Their teaching leads you in the wrong direction, religiously, spiritually, morally.
Especially they of the circumcision.
Wait, Brother Blake, it's not only then, it's now also. Especially they that are of that
circumcision.
Brother Blake, in my time, Paul would say, especially them that are of the Sabbath keeping.
Everybody silent.
Amen.
That's exactly. Those that are of the circumcision are the Jews.
Yeah.
That's right. The Jews. They would compel young men that you cannot associate with us if you were not circumcised. Those today would tell you are not a child of God if you do not keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was never given to Gentiles or to Christians.
Amen. Amen.
Paul says these people, he's speaking of religious falsehood generally, but watch here now. He said, especially
they have the circumcision.
That's the truth. They have the circumcision. Read on.
Whose mouths must be stopped.
Let me hear that again.
Whose mouths must be stopped.
Let me hear that again.
Whose mouths must be stopped.
Somebody saying you talk about the religious group too much. Here the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ is saying certain false teachers, if you could put a lock on their mouth, that would be the appropriate thing. But how are we going to stop their mouth? Showing them up. That's what this is implying. Whose mouth must be stopped? Why should their mouth be locked down? They teach too many things contrary to the will of God. Wait, these are religious people.
Yeah, amen.
They belong to those who said you must be circumcised or you must keep Sabbath. Read on.
Stopped. Who subvert whole houses?
Y'all understand here is a political term. They subvert complete household. What does that mean? They would take their false doctrine to unsuspecting soul, and they would go in a home and teach those falsehood. And because some people are not grounded, those people are swept off their feet with religious falsehood. And you know what? They usually think they are just as good. They are not. Only the truth of Jesus Christ make us Christian.
Amen.
Anything added to the teachings of Christ contaminate our soul. Read on, brother.
Subvert whole houses.
Subvert complete houses.
Teaching things which they are not.
You see how they subvert? You see how they subvert? They taught things that they are not to teach.
For filthy lucre's sake.
Wait. And all that drives them is material gain. Are we all there? Truly, the love of money is the root of all evil. What drives them is either position or material gain. What verse is that, brother?
End of 11.
Read on.
One of themselves.
One of themselves. Watch here. Now. Are we all there? We are not strong and teaching against falsehood and false prophet. No, sir. You take a page out of falsehood. You think the man would stop there. You'd have think that the man has said enough. But he went and he said one of themselves.
Even a prophet of their own.
A prophet of their own.
Say. The Christians are
wait,
all...
Wait. This was not a religious prophet. That is, in the sense of the Jewish or Christian religion. This was a prophet that enhances the Christian's way of life. What he said?
The Christians are always liars.
Watch here. The Cretans. Now, can you believe? Paul is writing to a preacher who preached in Crete. Titus. And he's saying to Titus, the Cretans are always?
Always liars.
Liars.
Evil beasts.
They are evil beasts.
Slow bellies. This witness is true.
Y'all get it? Y'all get it? You talk about strong word against falsehood. Here you have it. Huh? Let me hear the list again, brother.
Said the Cretans are always liars.
The Cretans are always liars.
Evil beasts.
They are evil beasts.
Slow bellies.
They are slow bellies.
This witness is true.
Paul said, I agree with it. And as a result, Paul said, do this. Read.
Wherefore, rebuke them sharply.
Rebuke them sharply.
That they may be sound in the dark, in the faith.
You are here, brothers and sisters. So, mouth must be stopped. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Christians, what this passage is teaching, don't just swallow hook, line, and sinker when anything comes to you in the name of God and the name of religion. You must apply the text. Here the Almighty God, who is inspired writer, is encouraging us to put them to the test. When it says believe not every spirit, it's not talking about dopey or ghosts. It's talking about those who come to you in the name of God, in the name of Christ, in the name of religion. Don't just accept it. Try the spirit whether they are of God. Why?
Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Read on, brother.
Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth...
Wait. He was not saying this is the only way. Hereby mean this is one of the ways you know the truth. Hereby know we the spirit of God. And this statement he's about to repeat now, it was against Gnosticism. This group of people who believe that they know everything. That's where the word Gnostic comes from. Read, brother.
Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God.
Everybody,
in the flesh is of God.
Everybody hear that? Now this was one of the ways. Your people then was saying that Jesus Christ did not come into the flesh. He was not flesh and blood. And you'd say, well, if they want to say that, that's their business. That has implication. Jesus Christ came as a man. The man God, yes, but as a man. Don't diminish from that. And Paul was saying, when anybody comes and make Jesus Christ less or more, you know that that person is not of God. What verse is that?
That was 2.
Read 3 too.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God.
Here are, the John was saying, here are some simple ways. You can know who is who. Who is true from who is false. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. The brother just read 1 John. Chapter 4, 1 through 3. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3.
But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you.
Wait, y'all hear it? There were false prophets, Peter is saying, under the Old Testament period. Peter is saying, Christian, don't be naive. There shall be false prophets among you. For you are right to go around thinking, all church are the same church. All of them are worshiping God. That's crazy. Have you read the Bible? Here are the inspired apostles of Jesus Christ who made warning against false prophets, false religious teaching, a part of the major theme and emphasis. Read, my brother.
False teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies.
Did you not understand what that means? They shall privately bring in damnable teaching. The word heresy means false teaching. They're not going to bring it in openly. Before long, you are believing some things that literally condemn your soul and put you out of fellowship with God. Read, brother.
Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
They shall criticize the truth, the false teachers. Look at another passage, 1 John chapter 2, 21 through 22. Quick, brother. I'm just running down these passages to show you that this was a priority for the apostles of Christ. Teaching against religious false doctrine, false practices, and false man-made churches. Read.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ?
Wait. You hear strong language? John writing to the church, he said, those, if you want to know who is a liar, watch the teaching. What do they teach, brother? They deny.
He that denied that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist.
He is the Antichrist.
That denied the Father and the Son.
That's right. Huh? Oh Lord, I'm sort of tempted to go more with the deny the Father and the Son. There is a Father and there is a Son.
Amen.
When you deny this, you are an Antichrist. Huh? The inspired apostle of Jesus Christ called them liars. Talk about we criticize. In fact, look at this passage. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 9. I want you to look at this passage now. You are going to have the Lord's church, and you are going to have man-made religious institutions. In this one passage, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 9. Let us hear the passage.
I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear.
This is to the church at Ephesus. Yes. The Almighty God is speaking, Christ rather is speaking. Jesus Christ is complimenting this church to some extent. Notice what he said. I know thy works.
And thy labor.
I know your labor.
And thy patience.
I know your patience.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
You all hear that? You can't bear them. You can't tolerate those who what?
Which are evil.
Which are evil. Watch here.
And thou hast tried them, which say they
are... Wait. Are you following me in this passage? Here Jesus Christ is complimenting one of his congregation for standing up, showing up a false group. Do you get it? Christ is praising them. Where they didn't just go along with this false group, but they put them to the test. Read that little part. I know thy works.
Thou canst and hast tried them. Which
no, I cannot stand them.
And thou canst not bear them.
You can't bear them. You hear that word? That phrase means you can't tolerate those who are?
Which are evil.
Which are evil. Now, it's going to tell you how they are evil now. Read that.
And thou hast tried them.
You have tried them?
Which say that they are apostles.
Wait, brother. Notice there. clay. Their claim is that they are
apostles.
They are apostles. That's their claim. Haven't we been teaching here in Wednesday night? Don't just accept religious claim. Put it to the test. Here Jesus Christ is praising, complimenting one of the congregation of the Church of Christ for standing up audibly against a false group that may claim that they were
apostles.
Apostles.
And are not.
They are not.
And has found them liars.
Did I hear you right, brother?
Liars. Found them liars. Found them liars.
You talk about other denomination. No, sir. We have not been speaking about them as we are to. Jesus Christ said to the church at Ephesus, I like this about you. That the false among you, you show them up. Found them liars.
Verse 9.
Verse 9. Watch here now.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
And tribulation.
I know your tribulation.
And poverty.
I know your poverty.
But thou art rich.
You are rich.
And I know the blasphemy of them which...
Wait! I know the blasphemy of them, brother Webb. Here is another claim. That say they are...
Jews.
Jews. Wait. That means they are God's people. Read.
And are not.
They are not.
But are the synagogue of Satan.
They belong to the church of Satan. Are you there? Their claim is we are Jews, we are God's people. Jesus Christ says, in fact, they belong to the church of Satan. Are we there? Synagogue, a place of worship. In fact, the word synagogue means congregation. They belong to the congregation of Satan. To the church of Satan. But Brother Mitchell, since they call themselves the church of Satan, how people go there? No, you don't get it. They didn't call themselves the church of Satan. They call themselves Jews. But Jesus Christ said, in fact, because of the false teaching that they embraced and enhanced, they were nothing but the church of Satan. Everybody got that? You notice the difference between their claims and the reality. Jesus Christ called them liars. Are we there? We have another example, but you know what? I'm going to be tempted to stop here. And that is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through verse 9. Here again we have two church. The true church and the false church. Just like we have in our time. Brothers and sisters. Would you get mad with Paul and Peter and John because they point out these falsehood? In strong words that a lot of times we don't use. May I? Here, would you get mad with Jesus Christ because he praised one of his congregation here for the strong stand that they took against falsehood? Christ says, in effect, I'm glad that you showed them up. They claim to be apostles of mine, and they are not. We need to do more of this. We need to be more positively aggressive with the truth of Jesus Christ. And the reason some of us are so passive is because we ourselves do not study to know the truth. Brothers and sisters, in closing, when Jesus Christ sends you guidance, in many ways, make sure that you appreciate the guidance sent by Jesus Christ and that you respond to that guidance. If Jesus Christ sent you guidance that the food you're about to eat is contaminated, you should be so thankful to God you would give him thanks. If Jesus Christ sent you guidance that there are false preachers, teachers out there religiously, morally, spiritually, and that you must be careful that what you believe is in keeping with the teaching of the gospel, in the same way we meet tonight to give God thanks for saving us from the onslaught of the earth, you should be thankful to God. When a man or a woman comes and teach you, say, look here, and show you in the Bible, look here, Jay, look here, Sam, true baptism according to God's word is a burial, it is not a sprinkling. You should take time off and say, God, I'm thankful to you that from your own word, you have opened my eyes. Your attitude should not be that you don't hear what the Bible says. You are going to go back to that man-made church. God can never save you if you are defiant against his truth. When God sends you truth, show God that you appreciate it. And that is truth also that relates to religious falsehood. The claim that we criticize other churches too much, we do not do it half as much as the inspired apostles of Jesus Christ. If you are here today, if you have been wrongly led religiously and spiritually, do you belong to a religious group that is nowhere mentioned in the Bible, then that alone, common sense would say something is wrong with it if it is not in God's word. Because if it were founded by Jesus Christ, it would be somewhere here in his teaching. Truly. You belong to a church, the Church of Holiness, Carl Mitchell. Then the first thing common sense would teach you, let me go and see where Christ talked about the holiness called Mitchell Church. If you search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and cannot find that, that alone is telling you something is wrong. Amen. Paul teaches us that the name that we should use to identify ourselves as a group is the name of the person that was crucified for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 13. In fact, if you want, just read verse 12 and 13. Was Paul crucified for you? Yes, some people were using Paul's name to identify themselves religiously. The logical question Paul asks, was Paul crucified for you? Let me tell you, that question is still relevant today. So if you belong to a church that is named after day Pentecostal, Paul would ask, was Pentecostal crucified for you? Baptist, was Baptist crucified for you? Mr. Mitchell, is that in the Bible? Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 13, but especially verse 12 and 13. It is showing that using man-made names To identify yourself religiously is against the will of God. So when God sends you those truths, don't fight against it, because you cannot fight against God's truth. But you know what? When you obey God's truth, it saves you. Today you can believe in Christ, accepting your sinful condition. You can repent of your sin, turning from your ungodly worldly ways to the righteous ways of Christ. You can confess your belief in Christ as the Son of God. And you can be baptized under water. Are you interrupting me by telling me you have been baptized already? Because some water was sprinkled on your head? Mr. Mitchell, in this church you say baptism. In my church they call it confirmation. Well, look here. If you were not buried under the water with Christ, you are not baptized. Amen. Christ is inviting you now to come and do the right thing.